This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I want you to know that I have a playlist that I've been playing on repeat right now that is called If You're Nasty, and it's just Make It Nasty, Tipsy by Jaquan, Radio.
I need this.
Yeah, and then also just Rack City by Tyga.
Did you make that for me?
No, I made it for us.
For our love language?
I made it for us.
So good.
And I will say that I now really want to do it. Like any kind of dance to Make It Nasty, but I don't want.
Ooh.
Because it's like, oh, it's so.
It's a good sound.
It's a good one. But even just Tipsy.
Oh, yeah. What's the beginning of the Tipsy when he's like.
Because he's like, teen drinking is a problem. Because I got a fake ID.
Boom. Wanted
a D to the dog. It's a dog.
Oh, my God. A dog remix playlist. What playlist have you made with the weirdest subtitle or the weirdest title?
Oh, of the playlist?
Of the playlist.
I
have one called Happy Girl Summer.
You have Happy Girl Summer?
Yeah, it was like in rebellion to Hot Girl Summer, but like I just wanted to be happy. No one needs to like stunt on them when you're just trying to smile.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at them right now. I got one that's called Fuggin. That's F-U-G-G-I-N that I think is for sex, but it's just... But yeah, I will tell you this because I'm looking at it right now. It is just one song.
What? Truly, Madly, Deeply by Savage Garden?
No, Glory Box by Portishead. It is the sexiest song
Oh my God.
Ever.
I need to hear it.
Yeah.
My playlist for that is called Thrills. And I think I think it's made by somebody else.
Oh, yeah. I also have one that's Yes with 3 question marks. I have CDFO, which, yeah. Are we like recording right now?
Yeah, but I like it. This. Wait.
I don't know what CDFO means, but...
I guess you'll find out by the title of it, or the songs.
Jeez.
I have one called To Shake an Ass, and on that note...
That one is really great, though.
Let's start the pod. Welcome to Just a Tip, an advice podcast that's equally about its tangents as it is about its tips. This is not a playlist podcast, but maybe it should be.
I keep finding more ones. One said, did somebody say feelings with 4 question marks?
That's not how you use punctuation, Addie.
I don't think I ever really listened to these also. That's the thing. I think I make them and it's cathartic enough.
The voice you're listening to is Addie Weirich in the studio for the second time.
Yes, I made it.
You made it. I was figuring that maybe I'll start doing this. The first section or the first time that someone comes on the podcast, it's like the introduction.
Sure.
It's like introducing Cameron Diaz in the mask. This is the first time we've seen her, but we need to see more, especially that
right.
red dress.
Yeah.
Second of all, then when someone comes back, we're going to do like a deep dive into one topic.
Reintroducing Cameron Diaz in, I don't know.
A blue dress.
A blue dress in a different movie that she's been in. Cameron Diaz, at the same time, I can't remember a single movie that she's in, and yet I think she's in every movie that I've ever seen.
Like she's in The Holiday? But isn't everyone? It's like one of those Christmas movies that have like 6 different storylines.
Oh, like Valentine's Day.
That's just another day.
No, it's another one. They have another, there's like 16 people, Taylor Swift's in it.
Oh, wow.
With like Jacob Lautner. Yeah.
That's a hodgepodge of people.
Oh, there were a lot of people. Yeah. Yeah, it was very fun.
So the last time you were on the podcast, did you do Burst of First or were you were previously?
No, I did. I think I was the first Burst of First.
Oh,
actually, I do think I was the first Burst of First.
That's really interesting. So before we started recording, we were talking about doing the lasts. So
oh, yeah.
We're going to do Fast Lasts.
Fast Lasts.
And we're going to do the same questions, but I'm going to switch them all to last.
Okay, this is going to be fun. I did suggest this, and now I'm like, wait, is this going to be actually very hard to do? Okay, let's see it.
Okay, let us go. Fast Last, number one, Addie Weirich. Last job.
Last job. The job that I'm currently at, which I work for an app. I do customer service. It's very difficult.
Last cell phone.
The one that I have right now. Is this just what I have right now?
Yeah.
The last cell phone I had was the iPhone 8 because I cracked the screen on my last on the 7s. So now I have the 8.
Last pet.
Last pet is Carmen. We just found out she has cancer. It made me cry really hard. She is alive, though. We're not doing a GoFundMe. We're just going to let it happen.
Last kiss location.
Last kiss location was in my room saying goodbye.
Sad.
Well, just like see you later. But like that was, but it was like my room. Like, you know, like they were leaving and I was like, bye.
Last major purchase.
Oh, God. My Albert Savings app says that I spent $300 at Sephora.
Oh, my God. Last choice in a karaoke book. You're not going to sing this song.
Oh, that I'm never going to sing. Uh-huh. This is the last thing I'll say. Oh, honestly, any rap song. I am not going to do that.
Really?
I'm not going to be the white girl singing a rap song. I will do that in my own home, on my own time, just for me, because that's who it's for. You're doing it for yourself. I'm not doing anyone any favors. I'm doing it for everybody else. I'm going to stick to Carrie Underwood, okay? I know who I am.
Last internet screen name.
The last one that I created... I mean, honestly, as I get older, they're just Addie Weirich.
Yeah.
But when I was young and fun, it was like Adzizzes with like a bunch of Z's. Addie Yo Mind is my Instagram. Baddie Addie was my Snapchat. Spaghetti Sauce is my Twitter. There's no continuity, just fun. Good luck finding me.
Last thing you think when someone doesn't answer the phone?
The last thing I think is that, oh man, they were about to call me and they really wanted to talk to me. That's the last thing I'll think of.
Last celebrity crush.
Frankie Muniz.
That's the last, okay, hold on, stop. I forgot to mention, if I yell stop, you got to explain, elaborate, or tell the full story. That's your last celebrity crush?
Wait, like the last one I had? Or the last person I'd ever pick?
Oh, it's either way. Which one is Frankie Muniz?
I think Frankie Muniz is, he's still just like a gut reaction to the last person. I was like, I don't have celebrity crushes really. Cause I'm like, cause honestly, a really big turnoff, it's very hard for me to like somebody if they don't like me.
I know that.
So, yeah. So if a celebrity doesn't know me, then they probably also don't like me. And that's very hard for me to get on board with that. So like.
So Frankie Muniz is the last one that you had when you were a child.
Yeah. Because I know he loves me back.
Last concert.
The last concert I went to. Uh-huh. We saw Lizzo together.
Yeah,
that counts.
Last scar.
Oh, I mean, sadly, I think just another mosquito bite on my leg. My leg is all covered in scars. I just bought scar cream to fix it.
Mederma?
Yes.
It's real good.
Well, I just put it on 3 times a day. I'm failing at that.
Wait, did I tell you about this?
No, what happened?
Oh, I just met Mederma in general. I didn't tell you about Mederma?
No, what did you do?
Oh, I just told you to get it.
Did you?
I told someone.
Oh, maybe not me. Maybe even a lot of friends with scars. Got a lot of scarred friends.
Moving on. Last thing you do when you like someone.
The last thing I do is be mean to them, idiots.
Everyone in the 5th grade to me with my Ed, Edd, and Eddy printout.
I love it, Ed, Edd, and Eddy.
Last show you binge watched.
I'm currently binge watching Succession. And honestly, it is 100% just so I can keep up in a group text.
Yeah.
And now it's fun. It is actually fun when everyone is watching the same thing.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't really know how much I like the show, but I like that I get to talk about something with my friends.
Yeah. Last excuse you make when trying to cancel plans.
Probably the truth is the last thing I'll actually say. is like, I'm feeling depressed.
But that would do you well.
I know. Maybe just being like, hey, I don't want to see you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know.
The blunt truth.
Yeah. But
and lastly... the last time you cried in public?
Yesterday. I go to, I'll go to like some meetings and stuff, huh?
You went to a meeting to cry?
Or you cried
because of a meeting?
Well, no, like a 12-step program. I don't even know if I can like say it out loud. That's fine. Or like just like in, I feel like that's public. Or I mean, just like crying in my car. I'm a pro at crying in my car.
Mm.
It's like, but is that public? Maybe not.
It is. I disagree. Yeah, it is.
It's
not
private.
Public.
What if the windows are down?
Half.
And you're hanging out
public,
the car.
But then you're in danger. You're probably crying because you're going to die.
Probably like on the street. It is weird because in New York, I would cry in public all the time because it's so private. in New York because there are so many people. Whereas right. In LA, I do feel like when you see people crying, oh, so I was at Maru, the little coffee shop, and I think I saw an intense fight happening, but it was the most LA thing because it's small and there were two women and they both had sunglasses on inside and they were both looking like they were both sitting kind of next to each other but looking dead straight ahead.
No.
So from a side angle, I think I could see that one of the woman's eyes were like a little red and they were talking very like quietly and there were really long pauses where no one was talking but they were looking dead ahead. And I was like, this is a public fight in LA. In New York, it would have just been loud and you wouldn't have been able to hear it over everybody else also having loud fights.
Right, right.
And it was, I feel like I've stumbled upon a secret.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I felt like almost a little intrusive just by being there. Was very
right.
Fascinating.
Dude, fighting in public is the worst.
Yeah. It's also in LA, also when I do see people fighting very loudly in public, I do think it is fascinating. Because it's either like you are a type of person where you just don't care or it's that bad of a fight.
Yeah. That's never good.
No.
I hope everybody's okay out there.
Yeah. Hey, everybody out there. Here's a message from Megan and Addie. I hope you're okay. Right. I hope you're all right.
I just hope you're fine.
I just hope everybody out there is doing A-okay.
So the point of this podcast,
additionally,
to make people feel good and make sure they're all right,
is
I wanted to start picking out some of my friends that I've had really good conversations with.
Lovely idea.
Yeah. And we recently talked about goals.
Did we ever?
And we did
which
for
I believe
so
on a Friday night. We went to a heels class, which I will say was amazing.
We went to a heels dance class. Felt in power.
I have never been more in love with my body.
I've never put my knees like that.
My knees have never felt like that.
It was really tough. The way you hold yourself, I've never done that before.
Right. And
like, it just, everything is up and in. And
but the angle, the feet facing the front, but your hips in a different way. Yeah.
You're like a Picasso painting.
You really are. And guess what? Those paintings are not real people for a reason. They are paintings.
They're paintings.
It's easier to contort your body when you're not a person. When you're just a bunch of paint.
So we went to this heels class, felt great afterwards.
Yes.
And then we came back home. And I think we just sat on the, and it's so weird because like, we didn't play any music. We just sat down. I put a blanket on and we just started talking about our goals.
Yes.
Which is so wholesome.
Right. Yeah.
And I was thinking like, I've always felt like a motivated, goal-oriented person, but then you had so much insight and I really want people to hear how you think because I also think the way that you kind of carry yourself through all of this like entertainment stuff, but still like believing in yourself
and
like with all like the therapy and just really like, I feel like you've figured it out before I did when I was your age.
Oh, hey,
and
thanks.
Kind of now.
Oh, hey, thanks.
And you're welcome.
Thank you.
So I feel like let's get other people to be on the same page as what you've helped me.
Well, with goals, I will say that like I've always loved goals and I do attribute that to doing karate growing up, like it was this thing of like you had belt goals. So like you're, and it really is fascinating of being like, yeah, black belt was the ultimate goal. But like if you were a white belt, you had to get to white, yellow, then yellow, orange, 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 purple, purple, and like purple, green, purple, blue. There are two levels of purple. So like you knew like, okay, black belt's the ultimate goal. But then basically like you already, the whole belt system was basically broken down so that you had smaller goals to eventually build up to your bigger goal. And that was, and but also here's the thing, when I got my black belt, I was like, I did it! And I had this huge sense of accomplishment. And then like, I didn't really know what to do. I was 13, which is very young, but I worked very hard at it. I was 13 and I got my black belt and there was always this like thing of being like, well, you never stop learning. Our teacher would always tell us that. Even when you get a black belt, you never stop learning. You are a first degree junior black belt. Okay. So I got dog hair on my face.
Weird because there's no dog here.
Yeah, no dog in here. Shh. Doggy. Dog is eating his butt right now.
He also has hair in his mouth.
Listen. We're all dogs. But it was this, he was like, you know, you never stop learning. But then there weren't really like black belt classes at the studio where I like grew up taking classes. And I just kind of transitioned into teaching and like, you know, giving other people goals. And that was really awesome. But there was this part of me like all throughout high school. And that's also the when I started getting into comedy and where I do think I took a lot of that goal setting mentality and put it into like, okay, well, I'm going to finish all the UCB classes. But then that was also weird. Where once I finished all the classes and I was in advanced study, it's not up to me whether I got onto like a UCB house team.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that you get into that tricky place of like, how do I make a goal that's not in my control?
Yeah.
And I used to just stop doing this. And there was this point, it's actually, I'm now realizing I have a lot more to say about goals than I thought, but but with my history of goals, and then I went to college and I realized that my goal wasn't to graduate. My goal was to like be a working actor and comedian.
Yeah.
So college kind of like, I ended up dropping out because it wasn't in line with my goals, but my goals were still kind of like large and nebulous. And then I started like doing goals by my birthday.
Ooh, that's fun. Which like a little gift to yourself.
It felt like a gift to myself. And it felt like I could also mark, like, I don't really do New Year's resolutions. I do, like, my new year is my new year of, like, my birthday. So August 17th is sure. my new year, you know?
Right.
And that worked really well, actually. I had, like, 2 years where I was like, oh, shit, I did a really good job this year. And it was just because I was like, by my 20th birthday, I want to have a monthly show or whatever. And then whenever I felt stuck, I would just be reminding myself of those goals.
Mm.
But then I got like larger representation and I started doing a lot of things and it was really fun to collaborate with people. And I was like, I want to do everything. I'm so interested in everything and everyone. And life is so exciting and full of everything that I felt like even good things that happened or opportunities that I got were not because I was going after them. It's because I was doing other things and people were like giving me those opportunities and then I was taking them, which would lead to other opportunities, but it still wasn't goal oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And then that also made me feel a little like, well, am I just waiting for someone to give me something or whatever? And that also, you feel helpless. So I was feeling, and especially coming to LA, like even moving to LA, oh my God, I moved to LA in like the best way possible, but it was totally by accident.
It was wild to see.
You did meet me on my second night, my first night here.
Yeah.
You met me on my first night here.
I've grown up being so rigid and so like by the book and so like here's everything. Like I make lists to check my lists. Mm-hmm. Like everything is in its place. And mm-hmm. so like in comes you, and I'm also like so introverted that I don't really talk to anybody.
Right.
And so I met you, you were so nice. And then we ended up sharing Brussels sprouts together. Love them so much. We ordered another one
mm-hmm.
and probably some fries. And then I was like, I love this girl. And then you were like, yeah, I don't really know where I'm staying. I have like this week, but then I don't have a flight back.
Oh yeah. That was so reckless also of me coming to, there are moments, it's really wild, where sometimes I will have very low confidence in like myself or overall or, you know, how we do. But then there will be times of my life where I'll be like, the confidence I had is astounding. Where I was like, I'll just go to LA and I'll figure it out. People in New York were like, we need to know where you're sleeping. And totally. I was like, I'll let you know. Like, I knew that I had a cousin I could stay with for at least the first 2 weeks.
Oh, that's at least good. I have a padding yeah. to meet more people but like me that fall in love with you.
I was like, well, in 2 weeks, I'll find other people.
And instantly, the thing is, I never weirdly open my house to many people because like living with a roommate for so long and it's like, now I have my own space. And,
yeah.
Like, there was no way that I wouldn't like offer that to you because like when you find someone.
Oh my God,
someone,
I love you.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like when you find people, I don't know if you do know what I mean because everyone loves you because you're so like, you're able to bring everyone in.
Mm.
And with me, I have to be safe in order to feel like I can make a connection. So like when I met you, I felt really safe. And then instantly it was like, oh, I can trust this person, especially like our first hangout.
Yeah.
It was like really trustworthy. And so I was like, yes, live with me.
Yeah.
And that's like not a thing I would ever do, which is so fun to see like my growth with you. Like,
hey,
that's so nice.
That's really nice. Oh my God, this is so fun.
Just getting compliments.
Just being like, oh yeah, we are, this was so nice. I'll speak to like what you just said because I've been doing a lot of like specific self-work with my myself in the past like 2 months in a way that I haven't really before. And there are a lot of like, there's a lot of stuff coming up for me. And I swear this will get back to like goals in a way, but because also the new goal process that I'm working on, there's just a lot of like kind of unearthing how I am, maybe why I am, and and thinking about that. And this also goes to, someone was talking about like I was talking to someone and they were like, I don't say sorry anymore. They're like, unless I do something that like really like hurts somebody's feelings. And I'm like, hey, I am so sorry that I did that.
I apologize to my furniture when I run into it.
And they appreciate it. But here's the thing. But they were like, because the thing about saying sorry, especially if it's like a behavior that you want to change, they're just like, oh, I'm sorry about that. It's like, okay, cool. But actually what I'd love for you to hear is, hey, that happened and I'm going to make sure that that doesn't happen anymore. Ooh. I'm going to work on that to make sure it doesn't happen. Because then if I'm like, oh, Megan, I'm so sorry. Like, what are you going to say? It's okay. But when it's like, well, it's actually not.
Exactly.
Maybe actually that wasn't okay. Maybe actually I'm like, hey, I see that I hurt you and I see that I hurt your feelings. And I want to let you know right now that I am sincerely making an effort to never do that again. Because I never want you to feel that way.
Sounds so much better than an I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then also it prompts you to be like, hey, I see that and I hear that. Thank you.
Totally.
And then that's better than I'm sorry. It's okay.
Yeah, if someone says sorry and I don't think it's okay, I say I understand.
Yeah, but then also
the worst.
But then because also like
I hear you.
But then even the person who's saying I'm sorry is like, okay, well then am I forgiven? And you're like, I don't.
Right.
No, I don't know. I might need some time for forgiveness, and that's also okay. We can allow each other so much more time than we give each other, just because texting is fast and like Amazon Prime delivers in one day or maybe same day. Like, we can give ourselves more time.
Your forgiveness is not coming on your doorstep in 2 days.
Because it's also not in your control. And I think, and that also comes back to goals and control. And like, a thing that I'm realizing a lot is that I love to take care of people. Mm. I love to take care of people. I feel useful. It is a thing of maybe like I feel needed, but I think that's because I'm like, oh, well, then they won't leave. Mm-hmm. Like, if this person really needs me, if they like need to know what I say, or they like need me to be at this thing, then like this is a friend that I'll have for a really long time.
Yeah.
And like, you are, I would say, maybe like, I like, in, when I die, I'll probably be like, Megan was my first really like real adult friend that I felt like ready to. That I felt like, oh, this is good. I'm like doing a friendship good. This is a healthy friendship. We are both in a great place to like have this friendship. The same way that people will like go through relationships and be like, oh, now I know what it is to be in a relationship 7 relationships later or whatever.
Yeah.
So it is this thing of like, and I do think that's like a mix of being in LA and doing this work and that kind of stuff. And it is like, I don't need you. And I feel like you don't need me, which is amazing, because then that means that we choose to spend time together.
Absolutely.
And then like when we want to spend time, like it's better to like want someone than to need.
Yes.
There's a difference between want and need.
Yes, Dad.
Yes, you're welcome, Mom.
My dad like said that so much, it's burned into my brain. It was like about buyer's remorse. Like, you said it really sweet, but he was like, there's a difference between want and need. And I was like, so I get no toys?
So I get no toys? Well, you don't need them. You also don't need my love, so I'll never give it to you.
Oh my God.
My name is Scrooge. I'm not trying to hate on your dad. I don't know him. But I know you and I love that.
I want to ask a little bit more about like specific goal setting, because when I used to set goals, not that they wouldn't, that they would be like too lofty to happen, but like the way that you set goals makes it so much more digestible. And I think like a lot of people are like me in a way that's like, here's what a goal I want. I want like this thing to happen by next year, or by when I'm 30, I want this.
Right.
Versus being like, what can you be in control of? Especially like in this industry, when people are like, I want to book one guest star role. It's like, you don't have
that control.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I'm also, so I will say that like, I think I had a pretty good grasp on goal setting through my life. Like, I think I was pretty good at that. But I will say I started working with like a manager who was then giving me goals that felt like, well, that goal isn't in my control. Like, you're asking me to, like, I think a goal for you should be to, like, book this thing or do this thing, where it's like, well, that's not, like she's like, you know, you should be trying to get up on, you know, you should try to get up on these shows. You should be performing at least 3-4 times a week. And I was like, well, that's not in my control, because I'm not booking myself on other people's shows. And that got really discouraging.
Yeah.
And I felt really stuck. And then I started taking this creative career coaching class with Betsy Capes. And I'm not going to give away all the secrets to her class, because... Because she's amazing, and I'm also not even done the class yet, so it's like, it's a bit. But the thing that's really stuck with me that I that I will never forget is like we were talking about year goals. And I was like, speaking of a podcast, I was like, she was like, you know, what do you want in a year? And I was like, I think it'd be really great to have a podcast. I would love to have a podcast in a year. And she was like, you think it'll take you a year to do that? And I was like, oh, I can do it in 2 months. Like I could. She was like, let's give you 3. And I was like, okay, that's good. And she was like, so if in 3 months you have a podcast, where will that podcast be in a year? And I was like, oh, shit. I guess I want to be getting some sort of money from it. And I want to have done 3 live shows and have it be hosted on a podcast network. And mm-hmm. she was like, that's a goal. And yeah. I think I kept being like, oh, a year. Well, here's the thing that I think that feels really big for me now.
Totally.
So that's the thing. But it's like, oh, actually, you can, if you start planning out, like, if this is my year goal and you work backwards on 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, it makes it feel so much more attainable. And I am so, I have some really big goals right now that mm-hmm. when I think about them, I'm like, I don't know how this is going to happen. And she's been like, you don't have to worry about that right now because we'll break it down. Yeah. And like, there is a way to break it down. There's a way to like work backwards. And there's also a way to let yourself dream bigger. And so what she would say to the thing of being like, well, it's not in my control if someone's like, you have to be performing 3-4 times a week. She's like, but what is in your control? And I was like, oh, I could, every day I could email 3 shows.
Yeah.
With my reel. I could do a show and record it. And then that's the thing that is in my control is asking to be on a show.
Right.
It is in my control to host a show and like ask people to be on it who I know also host shows. It is in my control to get people coffee and ask them, how did you get up on shows? Like there are little goals and like little steps that you can take that are in your control.
Totally.
That do lead to that ultimate goal that feels wildly not. You know? Like, yeah, it's not in your control. You are not the casting director or, you know, Mrs. Head of a company or head of a casting, you know, agency.
That's my title.
I'm Mrs. Head of a company.
How can I help you?
I mean, honestly, it is. But a good joke was just a fact. oh, yeah. And like, this sky is blue. but, you know, you can't just be like, it's not up to you whether you get that guest star or that supporting role. But it is up to you to email your agent and be like, hey, just so you know, this is my goal. It is in your control to be like, hey, agent, do you have any acting classes that you recommend? Or like, I'm going to get other people coffee. It's so important to ask other people, how did you do this?
Yes.
Because we all have different answers because none of this is linear or makes sense.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking about? This is going to be a little tangential, but sure. Like, hi, this is the pod.
Here we are.
You know what I was thinking the other day? Is like,
wait.
No one sees our entire life besides us. Mm. Like when you and me are together, it's like, okay, our little circles are kind of hitting each other now. But then like after this, we'll go our separate ways and then I'll be by myself that no one is there with me. And then I'll see somebody else. And then our lives will go together. When you really think about it, like no one sees everything of your life besides you.
Right. Which is probably healthy.
Yeah.
Probably good.
Well, yeah. It's wild to me.
Because also you can't see what's going on in someone's head. You know, and I think that is a so much more of a thing that people think about because of social media, but it's mm-hmm. because you can actually document so much. You could do a live stream, but I'm not live streaming the thoughts that are going in your head. Mm. If you see someone having a successful live stream happening, you have no idea that in their head they're like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
This is going very poorly. I shouldn't have live streamed my whole day.
Stream of conscious. I wonder if that would be bad to watch.
I think you should keep it to yourself.
I'm not going to do
it. You know, I think someone should keep it because like those are your thoughts. Like you got to keep some things for yourself, I think. Mm-hmm. But it is good to know that like people don't. And also, when you see someone get something really big, you don't know, hey, that was that person's 3-year goal. And they've actually been doing these little things.
Yeah.
And that's not like poo-poo, you should be doing that. But it's like, no, a lot of stuff doesn't happen overnight. And you also don't know what people's resources are and how they made their goals and how they went about getting their goals. And like, and at the end of the day, what can you control?
Yeah.
You can control yourself, your mindset.
Yeah, there's a new agey saying. I mean, everything rhymes in like the new age philosophy.
Because you got to remember it. Yeah. It doesn't translate well. It's just for the English people.
It's just for all the posters and the merch.
Yeah.
But there's a thing that says, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. And that's basically what you've been saying. And I think it's so smart to see a goal that way versus being like, I want this thing somewhere in the future, to be like, well, what can I control that I can do to make that dream happen, to make that goal happen? Because a lot of my friends even too are just like, I want this thing. It's like, cool, do it. But then like, they'll never do it.
Right.
Until they start taking these tiny things like emailing your agents or asking people for coffee. It's all these tiny things that can help you get to, it's like a little amuse-bouche for your goal.
Yeah.
You're just warming up your appetite.
It is. And it's like, and you gotta, and there's a difference between making a goal and then making action plans. And like,
what do you mean?
Like, there's a difference between being like, okay, my goal today, or just say like, I have a goal. I'm gonna make it like real small, but like, my goal is make lunch. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, I need,
it's a big one for me.
Yeah, sure. But it's like, okay, well, do I have food in the fridge?
Yeah.
Do I know what I want to make? Yeah. Do I like, actually, it's like, okay, Google recipes for fun sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
I don't want a boring sandwich if I'm making it. Go to the store, pick them up. Like, but if you're like, make lunch, and then you get to,
totally,
I'm going to do it right now. I'm making lunch now. And you don't have any of the things because maybe that was a big goal. It's like, and that's when you're like, oh, I failed.
Right.
Like, oh, I didn't get this thing, or I don't know how I'll get this thing. So I might as well not even try.
Yeah.
Or I won't even try to ask other people how they did it or how they got around to it or whatever. I'll have no community. I'll have no accountability partner. I will just rough it alone. That sucks. If you're doing anything alone, because you think that's how it should be, or because you feel, or you feel like you don't need help from people. You don't need help, but it is nice to have help. So you can want help.
Yeah.
That's the need versus want again. Anytime you're, I think, making any decision that is out of fear or out of like pride or ego of being like, well, I don't want to ask this person because I don't want them to think that I need help. You can just be like, hey, I would love your help. I would really appreciate your help and time on this. You can be grateful. You can be thankful. And if they say no, you can be respectful, and it's not a rejection on your whole life.
Yeah.
But usually people are very flattered when you ask them for help. It makes them feel useful.
Yeah.
You are giving a gift to somebody when you ask for help or advice. And like, don't be a dick about it. Don't be like, hey, can you help me move my whole house? And I won't be there. I'm going to be in the Bahamas. Like,
That's horrible.
Yeah, I would say, no, thank you. I'll get to that.
Thank you. Accountability partners are so important. I remember when I was like losing weight, I would work out with my roommate, and that would work out really well.
Sure.
But now I live alone, and I just started making goals with another one of my friends, and we were like, how much money would we not want to pay if we didn't do our goals? And I was like, okay, if you don't do that thing, I was trying to like be there for him, and I've like never been in like a creative what did you even say?
Collaboration?
Creative course. What? I've also never been in collaboration.
I've never been in collaboration.
Creative path.
A creative career course is technically what I'm doing.
Yeah, the CCC. Yes. So I didn't do that. And so I was like, okay, yeah, money sucks. So pay me money if you don't do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how much money is a bad thing? Like, I was like, pay me $100. And he was like, I mean, I've paid someone $100 to not do something before. And I was like, fine, $250. And he was like, I don't want to do that. So we both made a goal.
Whoa.
And we're going to have to pay each other $250 if we don't do our thing by, I think, October 4th.
Whoa. Wait, but if you're paying him and he pays you,
we just, it's a scratch. We don't really have to pay each other.
It out.
But it like,
there are apps like that also.
Oh,
where
what do
like,
you mean?
Where you pay. Yeah, there's an app, because I was looking into this.
Oh, like puts your money in escrow.
Or like you give them money, and if you complete all like the workout stuff, you make more money than what you put in. But if you don't, then like they keep the money.
Oh, interesting.
So you're like investing in, so like, and you can, and the more money you give them up top, the more money you'll also make back. So like you could give them $1,000, but it's like you're not getting that $1,000 back if you don't like, if you don't work out the amount that you said that you would work out. You're also making your own goal.
Who knows?
I mean, the app, like you have to check in.
How do they know?
I don't know, but then I think there is a thing of like physically checking in at the gym and
you
stuff.
Just drive by.
Yeah, but then
not
like
saying you should.
But why are you spending all that time like trying to? And I don't even know if you make that much for that to be worth it. I don't know. I just know that like it is like for example for so one of my goals for the year, I have like a fitness track. So it's that, and when I really thought about it, I was like, I just want fitness and like just working out just to be a more normal part of my lifestyle. I don't want like going to the gym to ever feel like, oh my God, I have to go work out because I hate my body or like, as I feel, but I don't want to. I just want it to be like, oh, the same way that I brush my teeth and I eat lunch and I like check Instagram, I also work out. Like that's just what it is. So by the end of the year, I will have completed 212 workouts.
Whoa.
And that like, or not by the end of this year, but like my year goal is 212.
you're doing squats right
yeah,
now?
Just constantly. Oh yeah, I am in a pool of sweat, like a swimming pool, dive on in. Water is salty. But I was like, and if I do that, that averages out to 3 to 5 workouts a week.
Cool.
And I'm saying a workout is anything where I am like sweating and my heart rate is up. So that could be, even if it's like a 10-minute run or something.
Phone call.
Or a phone call. But like a hike or like a hike with friends or like doing something with other people, giving that as a gift to myself. Mm-hmm. And that is a measurable goal. So it's not like, I just want it to be more of a lifestyle. That's my goal, is just to be healthier.
Right.
It's like, well, how can I measure that?
Yes. That's been my goal for so long and it doesn't ever work.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick a number. That will be really good.
Yeah. And it's nice to also, it's nice to have goals with people and to be like, you know, and to do things with friends. I mean, I joined a CrossFit gym and it has been really fun to go, not because I like love CrossFit. I think it is a fun workout. I'm not really addicted to any kind of like working out thing. I think I just generally like doing karate. My body is kind of like, it's fit to kind of do any sport fine. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm amazing at one thing. I have like a swimmer's body. It's like, I don't have a swimmer's body, but I could swim.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So it's like, I don't have like a, I'm not like built for CrossFit, but like I can do it. So it's less about like, I love this specific sport, but more about like, oh, the people here. I want to go because I want to see Katie and Cole.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see, like, I want to, you know, I want to go to my boxing class, or even like I teach boxing now and it's really fun to see the same faces who come and take the class.
Oh, cool.
And then even that feels like not as much of a job. It feels like,
right.
Oh, I get to see Chris.
Yeah.
Like, how you doing?
Katie, Chris, and Cole?
Katie, all real people. I'm saying all real people. Steph,
I love it.
Steph has been taking my Tuesday, Thursday. She loves it. She has got a dog named Susan.
Okay.
Susan. And I am closer with her because she's been taking the class and she's happy about it. She now loves boxing and it's like, it is fun. I liked, and so I was like, wow, we're talking about goals and I just spent so much time talking about how much I like working out with people.
Yeah,
and it's
community.
Like a community. And it's like, oh, if I like that so much, I should make that a goal for that to be a consistent part of my life.
Totally.
Because it does make me happy. And it's a part outside of career.
Yeah.
That I can have my own goals with.
Yeah.
And my goal isn't a weight number. I think that gets tricky for me because I have like eating disorder stuff, or I've like had it. And so like saying, or I still have it. It never really goes away. Fun. But for me, it's like, oh, I never want to be like, I have to weigh this amount of weight. Cause for me, that doesn't work
yeah.
in a lot of ways. I usually never get anywhere close and I end up like hating myself,
yeah.
Which is the opposite of what that goal is.
That's the other thing. I want to take a break, but right when we come back,
yeah.
really want to talk about like what happens if we don't hit a goal, because that is detrimental.
Oh, I got ideas.
Okay, we take a quick break
yeah.
while Addie gives us an extra piece of advice you could find at Just a Tip Podcast on Instagram, and we'll be right back.
Woo!
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we are back talking about goals. In the break, you had mentioned something that I'd never heard of.
Yeah,
it's a movie about someone running.
Yes, Brittany Runs a Marathon. I Oh my God, it has Jillian. Oh my God, what's her last name?
Jillian Bell?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you nailed it. Great. Yeah, right? Jillian Bell, right? Clementine? Oh man. Wait, can you start that over? I do want to know her name. Because I should know, because she also, she's great. She's friends with...
Your friends.
No, she's friends with Nick and... Is it Jillian Bell?
Betsy runs a marathon?
Jillian Bell. Jillian Bell?
Yeah.
Brittany runs a marathon.
Brittany runs a marathon.
It's called Brittany Runs a Marathon. It just came out. I was having a down night last night, and I was going to go to Fred 62, which I love, and then I... was parking, and I parked in front of the Los Feliz Theater, and I was like, well, let me just see what movie's playing, and there were a bunch of movies playing at that moment, and I had seen a glimpse of Brittany Runs a Marathon, and I love Jillian Bell, who's in it, and I was like, okay, well, let me just go watch that, and so, like, I got popcorn and Diet Coke and a bag of Reese's, and I went in and just watched this really nice movie. I love that theater. And the thing that I liked about the movie, I Instagram storied it. I had some people respond where someone was like, oh, did you like that movie? There were a lot of people like talking about fat shaming with it.
Mm.
And I personally did not feel that way watching the movie. But also, I am not necessarily someone who is going to like feel that way. And I also think that if whatever people take from movies is super valid. Apparently, though, a lot of the fat shaming comments were coming from people who had just watched the trailer and not the whole movie. And... we, during the break, were kind of just talking about, like, running and goals in general with the wonderful producer Clementine.
Mm-hmm. Who's running many half marathons.
Who's running a half marathon, and she was saying, like, you know, it's, wow, half marathon, that's so many miles. But when you break it down, it's like, you know, you can, it's so great that it's very achievable. And
it was not great for me.
It's not good for you.
Mile 8, I was weeping.
As you should.
I was like, I could go back, but it would be farther to go back than to go forward at this point in time.
Yeah.
So that's like, I just had to keep running.
That's like, oh my God, I hate dumb blonde jokes because they have not really aged well, but there was that one of being like a brunette swam like a river, like there was a river you had to swim across, and the brunette swam across
I love this joke.
The other person with the redhead, I guess, is another hair color, swam across, and then the blonde swam halfway and said, I'm too tired, and swam back. is like,
yeah.
Is this the joke? Just making fun of women with different hair colors is the joke.
That is the joke.
The joke is that women are dumb, but if they dye their hair a different color, then all of a sudden they're not anymore. That's the joke that I was, you know, that we're raised on. But anyway, in Brittany Runs a Marathon, it's like she... decides to like run the marathon, and it is really less about, she even says like it's not about like winning the race, it's just about finishing.
Yeah.
And it's about the process of it. And honestly, oh my God, I don't like spoil the movie, but it becomes very much not a goal oriented movie. And what you really see is just someone who is looking at herself and tackling herself and just kind of like making changes in her life. And it like starts from this running goal, but like I think it's a really beautiful movie and kind of like homage to anyone who's making goals and is sticking to them, and how that is difficult, and like stuff comes up and you change, you change, and it's not ultimately always smooth and easy, and I think that's also really great to see. I also think like she, like they show emotional eating and kind of like binge eating in a way that is not a joke. It's just very much like this is this person's struggle with food. And And I think that was really awesome for me to see on screen as someone who suffers from that. And like, I like, you know, sometimes just like eating a meal can always, depending on where I am, I'm either eating a meal because I'm hungry, or it is a battle and I'm trying to like not overeat and like not binge and not purge. And like, and I have to like call people or I need help, you know, and to see that. To see her get sad or feel an emotion and then reach for food and not like in a, oh my God, I'm so sad, I'm going to eat all this ice cream, which is kind of like the LOL joke that is kind of around it. But of her being like, her also being like, I don't want to do this. This doesn't make me happy. This isn't actually like a positive thing, and how her friendships change. And it affected me in a positive way. I want to start running now. Like, I'm like, I can run a marathon. Like,
you can.
Wait, I could do that. And like, that would be fun. And it's like, that feels like a fun goal.
I'll cheer you on from the side.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to, I don't know if I want to run a marathon, but I think I'd like to run a half. That could be fun.
Fine. I'll do it with you.
Okay. Oh, really?
Sure.
Could be fun.
Now we're doing it.
Oh no, Clementine just threw her hands up in the air. We just okay shirred our way into running a half marathon.
Yeah,
okay. Oh yeah. Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, like your place tomorrow? Yeah, fine.
My legs are gonna cry. I think one time I went to a psychic and she said, if you run anymore, you will be paralyzed. And I'm not kidding.
Well, eventually, because that's what death is. You don't move anymore. So she got that right.
Your whole life is paralyzed. Wait, I want to talk about two things. Mm. Also, that sounds incredible. I am definitely going to watch a movie. I also love watching movies alone.
Yeah.
So good.
And going to the movie theater, it's really nice.
I remember.
You can't be on your phone or anything.
Yeah, not like a Netflix at home. That's all the time.
But
yeah, going to a physical movie theater by yourself is so. The last time I did that was with Pitch Perfect, and I had a great time.
The one that I saw before that was at the same theater. I like to go to that theater alone a lot. And it was that black and white movie that was really like sad and bleak and beautiful, not Casablanca.
Frankenstein?
Yeah, no. I can't remember it. If you're watching, you'll know what I. It's like two artists who keep coming back to each other, and it's black and white and white.
It's black and white.
Black and white. And foreign, and my cousin really like. It's not called Rome. It's something. Man, God. It's called Rome. I nailed it. It's called Rome.
You're just like, I knew it. And it's like, I don't think you did.
And it was very good, but it was a very heavy to watch alone. And it was very artsy that I would have liked to talk to someone about it, but no one had seen it. So it wasn't great for the stories. Anyways, Brittany Runs a Marathon is recommended watching for accompanying this podcast.
Cannot wait to watch it after this. Other thing I wanted to say is a thing called habit stacking. I read this book that I forgot what it was called, but... Oh, what was it called?
Habit stacking.
Sure.
The book.
Habit stacking. The book about habits.
Yeah, also called Rome.
But basically, they're saying if you want to implement something into your life, instead of, they usually say that like it takes, 20 or 30 days to make a habit.
Sure.
Yeah, like the book was like, that's not really that right. It just depends on like how often you do it, so that how much your body is used and like your psyche is used to doing it. So like we're used to waking up and then brushing our teeth, or especially waking up and going on Instagram. Like that's what almost everybody does. So a fun thing that you can do to habit stack is the habit, you've already done two habits. You've woken up, habit number one. Number two, you've gone on Instagram.
Stack is forming.
And now we're getting a stack. And now a third one, you could be like, after I get on Instagram, then I will blank. In blank location. So you know like where you're doing it, what you're doing, and when
you're
doing
it. Pee in the bathroom.
Exactly. It's like a game of Clue, but for goals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's like, if that's
after I, Colonel Mustard, wake up and look on Instagram. I will take the pipe and I will go to the library. That is where I will be till the end of the game.
Doing nothing but sitting reading a book with a pipe as a bookmark.
That's right. What a weapon. I didn't say it.
You don't know what happened.
Okay, so sorry. I just had a lot of fun with that. Please continue this really actually interesting thing that you're saying.
Number one, habit. Wake up. Number two, Instagram. Number three, pee in the bathroom. Then you're like, oh, I want to be, my thighs to be more toned. So you go, after I pee in the bathroom, then I will do 20 squats.
Sure.
And then you can go and just don't stack too many new habits, because it needs to be something that you can implement all the time that like without fail you will do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then after you do the squats and you go, okay, then I like make coffee, which I always do. And then I go to work, which I always do. And then I compare myself, which I always do. And then you're good. Then you've stacked your habit. And then once that becomes your norm, then you can stack another one.
Yeah. I mean, this makes a lot of sense because it's been hard to get into, because when I was living in New York, I had a habit of going to the gym because it fit. I worked 10 to 6 at my startup day job. And I was working with this personal trainer who I really loved. And her main thing, she was just like it was a personal training where like we just check in with each other. And she's like, I just want you to go to the gym 5 times a week. And get like the goal, and like if you can just go to the gym 5 times a week and just be on like the treadmill or the elliptical for 50 minutes. And I was like, what?
That's
50 minutes? I was like, that's a lot. She was like, you just stay on it, just be on it. You don't have to go super hard. You don't have to do like, and I also came to her being like, I want to get fit.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I
wasn't, she was doing her job.
Like, she was doing her job, but I was like, that's so much.
Yeah.
She was like, you can walk the 50 minutes, you can jog, you can be on elliptical, you can do whatever you want, just don't get off. And that made the bar so low where I didn't have to be like, I have to go have a good workout. It was like, I just have to stay on there. And I actually have this like almost spiritual relationship to the elliptical now because you can be on your phone or read a book.
Yeah.
Because your hands don't have to be moving and you're staying still and like you're stabilizing. So it became this place where like I would just like get music and just get on there. And it became this place where I actually had some of my favorite like comedy bits that I've done on stage have been ideas that I had while on the elliptical. Cause like blood was pumping and I was there. And it was this gym that was in between my house and work. So I would like get on my bike to the gym, work out, take a shower at the gym, go to work. I had a huge backpack and all my stuff was in there. But it was this routine. And then all I had to do was get out of the house. And then also I would make it a habit to get a cold brew from the Dunkin' Donuts next door. And then I became like good friends with the guy who worked at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
His name is Raul, and he was like, and I actually miss him because I saw him so much. And then like, if I wasn't going to the gym and I would see him in the afternoon, he'd be like, where are you in the morning? And then I was like, man, I gotta go say hi to Raul and then go to the gym. And it was a habit. I was forming this really healthy, fun habit.
Totally.
And now like my life has changed. My like lifestyle has changed. I work from home. There is an elliptical in the building, but it's like the building next door. So it is very easy for me to roll out of bed and sit right at my desk.
Yeah.
And not like get up and put on gym clothes. I can effectively work naked or in my underwear or a chicken suit. I don't care. Like I don't have to put on, which is changing my habits. And I love habit stacking because I'm about to do that.
Oh,
I'm thinking, like, I'm already thinking so much about like what I can do.
It's the best.
Yeah.
And it's almost like what you were talking about earlier, where it's like you have a big year goal and then you break it down into 3 months, 6 months, 9 months.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with like a big goal. It's like the big goal is getting to the gym, but okay, what can we do habit-wise to get us to the gym? It's like in the night before you wake up, put your clothes out. So it's like kind of inspiring. It's less hard. You can just put them on.
Put them on.
And then I think the book was like, just put the shoes on. All you need to do is put the shoes on.
Mm.
Great, the shoes are on. Now all you need to do is get to the gym.
Yeah.
You just got to get there.
You just got to get there.
So it's like I think tiny little.
That's what was great about the 50 minutes, but she was like, then you'll just be used to going to the gym for 50 minutes. And then when I throw you a like dumbbell exercise or like a different kind of workout that like might take 50 minutes or a little under, like you will already have a habit of going to the gym, getting there and like. And then even on a day that you really don't feel like it. And I will say there was one day that I remember I did not have headphones. I was really depressed. Like I was very, very down. And I got to the gym. I was proud of myself for getting there.
Yeah.
And I was on the elliptical for 10 minutes. And the music they were playing at the gym made me want to commit murder. And I was so sad. I called my dad. And like this was when I was in New York. My parents were in Philly. And my dad was like, do you want me to come up and help you clean your room? And like he drove, he was like, I'll be there in 2 hours. And he like drove and just, he was like, let's just finish a thing. I'll be there. I really just kind of slept while he just kind of moved stuff around. Like the room didn't effectively get that clean, but that was even a thing of like, even when I was feeling low, I still got there. And then like, I was proud of myself for doing that. I didn't feel like a failure and I could be like, okay, actually if I want to really take a look at myself and take care of myself right now, I can't be here.
Yeah.
But I went, and that was how much that habit was enforced.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing of what I think you were saying of like what happens if you don't complete a goal.
Mm-hmm.
A thing that Brent Forrester, if you like Dynasty Typewriter, where I do co-host a monthly show,
yes,
they have these great events called Go Day, where it's like during the day on Saturday, like the second Saturday of the month, and it's where I found out about this career coaching thing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because this year's Ameda was talking about it. Brent Forrester is this awesome screenwriter and just like great guy who is there every month and talks. And he was saying that he's like, if you schedule your workouts a week in advance, and I think this goes with any habit, if you schedule it in advance, even if you only do it 70%, that is 70% more than 0%.
Yes.
You still went. Like, you still did it. So I think even with the goal, like, I have some year goals where, like, for example, for money, I was like, have $50,000 in savings. I don't really know how I'm going to do that and what that would look like. And I might lower it to a lower number. I don't know. But if I am still working towards that and effectively thinking, like even if I get to the year and just say I have $15,000 securely in savings, which is, you know, remarkably lower than $50,000, that is still $15,000 that I did not have before.
Right.
You know?
Do you think that you're going to, like, what's your tactic there? Are you going to do, like, 30% in savings and the rest, like, for you and bills? Or, like, do you have a...
At the moment, the tactic isn't really figured out. A lot of my actions right now are, like, call mom, ask advice.
Sure.
Call friend, ask advice. Call Megan, ask advice.
Yeah.
Book 3 national commercials would help. And then it's like, okay, well, that's not... And then I had to do that breakdown of, like, make sure my commercial agents know I want to book 3 national commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Make that a top priority. What else? Ask them, what do you need me to do?
Yeah.
That'll make it easier for you to push me for these auditions. Yeah. So it's like making goals that are kind of scary, but that's the thing about things. If something scares you, that means that it's worth it.
Yes.
It means that you care about it. And why would you ever waste your time on earth doing things you don't care about?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Do you have chills?
Jesus. Addie. Stop.
Don't blame the water you're swimming in for making you wet.
Addie said that the other day on my balcony, and Amanda and I were just like, oh my God.
Where did you hear that from? And I was like, I think I made it up.
Okay, yeah. Before we wrap up.
Oh no.
I know, so sad all the time.
All the time. Because we got to stop talking to each other forever now.
if you don't, have you ever not... like achieved a goal that you set out for yourself?
Oh yeah, all of my birthday goals this year. I felt so down. Because you know what also kept happening? I kept changing my goals.
Mm.
So I kept making these big goals for my birthday, and then I kept changing them, and which just made it like harder to complete them. And then it got to my birthday, and I was crying to my mom, being like, I feel like I did absolutely nothing this year. And she was like, I'm going to make you a list of all the things you did, which was like awesome.
So sweet.
Great mom. So sweet. She made me this list. But that was the list that made me be like, I didn't goal set. Yeah. These were these really great things. Like, for example, move to LA. Well, like I booked a commercial. I had enough money to move to LA, get a car, furnish my apartment. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
I'm co-hosting an awesome show at Dynasty Typewriter with two amazing friends and comedians. Well, that's an incredible thing to accomplish. But I didn't plan any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I really kind of came to LA on a whim, being like, I'm just going to visit for 2 months because I need to get out of New York. It was like a gut move.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I really like it here. I'm just going to stay. And then even the booking of the commercial was just like, I was just going on commercial auditions. I just happened to book one in December, and the check ended up clearing like mid my trip here, which made me have the funds to be like, oh, sure. I can actually look at an apartment. And then my friend Nick Kocher was like, hey, if you're staying here, do you want to co-host a show?
Mm-hmm.
And like, we were friends. I was like, oh, sure. And then we got a producer who was like, hey, actually, I think you guys should do the show at Dynasty Typewriter. We're like, okay, we'll try that out. And like, so these are all things like, oh, it's wonderful how one thing leads to another. That's awesome. But none of them were goals. And I was like, I can make, can you imagine if I had made goals?
Yeah.
If those things had happened and I also had made goals?
Yeah.
Really cool. And also, what if those things hadn't happened, you know? So it's like, it was awesome. It was very great for my mom to make that list because it really did show me, like, you know, there were things that I did have as goals, but I wasn't actually working on them. I just said they were goals. And that made me feel like a failure who couldn't complete goals. And it's like, Well, I actually didn't help myself.
Yeah.
There's a thing that my parents would tell me growing up, being like, help us help you. Are you hungry? What do you want? Tell me what you need. Tell me what you want right now. Speak in requests was a big thing my dad would say.
Oh,
don't just be like, I'm thirsty. Be like, hey, dad, can you get me a glass of water? He might say, hey, you can go get it yourself.
Right.
Like, he might do that, but he might also be like, hey, sure, I'm going that way anyway. And like, you speak in requests. So there is that. And if you think about speaking in request to yourself, that is a goal.
Mm.
Hey, Addie, I'm asking you like to do this goal. And then when you write goals of like by October 24th, 2020, I have complete like October 24th, 2020, I have completed 212 workouts. Like not be like, I'm going to.
Yeah.
Just at this time, I have.
Yeah, like future journaling.
Future, yeah, which is what Amanda was talking about with future journaling, which is interesting.
I know, I didn't do it yet, but yeah, essentially you like journal as if things have already happened to you. I wrote in my journal about future journaling, but I didn't future journal.
It's the first step. I know, but I also, but that thing, the meditation that we did also where like I led Megan through like a guided meditation where like you basically kind of talk to your older self.
Yeah.
And it's 20 years. And I also got that from the class. I think it's okay that I'm saying as much as I am.
I think so too.
I think, but it was nice to be like, it's 20 years. Because I think with future journaling, the only thing that made me be like, maybe not for me, is that with future, if I'm future journaling too much, and it's more about this is what will happen, but I'm not also taking time to make action plans
yes.
on 3 month, 6 month, 9 month. That to me is setting myself up for failure.
Absolutely.
But if I'm future journaling as an 80-year-old version of me, that's pretty fun. And that could be really fun. What would 80-year-old me, and especially for 80-year-old me to be like, I am a boss lady. I am 80 and my skin is pretty good. I can still climb a mountain.
Okay. Like, okay, 80-year-old Addie.
She's got big goals, but it's like, okay, if I want to be an 80, if I see myself as an 80-year-old who climbs mountains, I should really be going to the doctor once a year and checking on my knees.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Like taking my health seriously.
I think that the meditation that you led me through, which was 20 years in the future, and then mm-hmm. I've done some work at like some development seminars that has like asking our little kids what we want. Mm. I think that really helps too, especially, this is not like really goals, but just kind of like listening to yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, ask your 40-year-old self something, ask your 10-year-old self something, what do you need? And I think that'll like bring down a lot of anxiety that people like me have a lot.
Just
like hyper worried all the time.
Which I think makes sense because as humans, we have to be super aware of what's happening right now. Because mm-hmm. if you don't know what's happening right now, you will get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. Mm-hmm. Like, this is ingrained in our souls, you know? So, like, if you are someone who is like, I'm really anxious about what's happening now, what's happening in the future, that's because you came from cave people who, if they weren't worried about what was happening right now, they'd get eaten. If they weren't worried about saving food for the future, they would starve.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's in our... It is survival instinct, but mm-hmm. it's like, how can we understand that and not let our survival instinct take over Instagram?
Yeah.
You know?
That would be good to know. Okay, Addison, which is not your name, but I love calling you it.
I know, we're really trying to wrap this podcast up, right? And I keep being like, but before we do, 6 minute monologue.
I want us to go around and give one... Mm. Not really one tip of advice, but like one closing remark, whether it's a tip or a like of insight or a cautionary tale, anything that helps people with goals, either setting them, achieving them, or getting over when they can't execute them.
I would say my advice is to do it with someone else. Mm. There's a study where like if you made a goal, if you said your goal, there's a 50% chance that you would do the goal. If you made the goal and you had an accountability partner that you like talked to about it and you guys held each other accountable, 95% success rate
of
people achieving the goal, 95%. So I say if you have a goal, don't be scared to talk about it with someone else. And don't be scared, especially if you're making that year goal, it is fun to tell your friend, do you think you could do that in 3 months?
Yeah.
Do you think you could do that sooner? It was really fun to do it with you.
It was incredible because it's the same exact thing that you had said, like everything that happened to me in the past, like it does feel like, I mean, we work really hard and things happen to us because we put the work in.
Sure.
But we're not, like I've made goals before. I always make, New Year's, I always make goals, like short-term goals and then long-term goals. But like I never revisit them until it's the next time to write the goals.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, did this thing happen that I wanted a long time ago? And a lot of times it has happened. But if I was like consistently working on it 3, 6, 9 months in, like I would have achieved them. And so when we were doing it, I had mentioned something that I've always wanted, but I really didn't think it was like in the cards for me until kind of somebody else did it for me.
Mm.
And then you were like, what if you did this one thing? And it like, it truly like, in the last podcast with Patrick Starr, he was like saying, when you know, about a passion and a business, it's like, I know I've always wanted to do that. And I feel like so much of my life, I've been kind of trying to figure out other ways that I could do other things.
Yeah.
When I know that I'm good at all these other things, but like, I really have a passion for this one thing.
This is huge foreshadowing for your October 2020 goal.
It really is. But it's like, I reconnected with a person that I haven't seen in 6 years and they came over to my house and they're like, you've always done this. You've always been this person. And like, is this the next thing?
People are
going to
be like, Megan's going to own 30 cats by October.
Megan, you've always been this person.
You've always loved cats, having them, throwing them around, rubbing your face in their fur.
Oh my God, Krem.
And I also will, I'm sorry to be dragging this on. I hope this is helpful. But the other thing, and you can look this up anywhere. If a goal is a SMART goal, it means that a goal has to be S, specific. So you can't just be like, I want to be happy. It's got to be, or even just be like, I want to be a writer on a TV show. It's like, I want to be a paid writer. It's like, I want to be a writer on a sitcom.
Right.
Like, that's like specific. Not confining. Not like, I want to be a writer on like this specific thing. I want to be a writer on this Michael Scorsese movie. Like, but you know, make it specific. M is measurable. That's why I did the workout numbers. I was like, I want my goal to be that I have a better relationship with working out, but it has to be measurable. So I will measure it in numbers. So I will have, and it has to, you either have to be able to do it or you don't.
That's a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that was like mind blowing.
That's
to me.
The one. Cause then that's, yeah. And also this, it reminded me when you said short term and long term, cause it's like, what does long term mean? Right. And then achievable, it has to feel achievable. Doesn't mean that you know that it is because you can't know the future, but it has to feel achievable. I'm not making my year goal president, you know, but I could be like, oh, city council person. Like if that was your goal. And then, SMAR is relevant. So again, you're not gonna, if your goal is, I want to be a city councilman. You're not gonna make a goal like, I want to make 1,000 cupcakes, you know, unless that is somehow relevant to you. But I don't see it being relevant unless you're a city councilman of cupcakes. And then T is time sensitive. They have to be, so long-term, what does long-term mean? Does it mean a year?
Right.
Then let's say a year. There was a goal that I made and I was talking about it and I was like, this feels more like a two-year goal, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, cool, if that's 2 years, then what is the 1 year, you know?
Right.
And also I want everyone to know, because, like, I was, even when I was driving over here, I was like, do I want to tell everyone what my goals are? And I was like, I don't know. Because it's vulnerable.
Yeah.
To say I want to do something is both admitting that you don't have it now, which is admitting lack, which is vulnerable. And also it's admitting that you care about something and that something, it does mean something to you. And that means that, and that is just vulnerable in general. It's like when you tell someone you like them, like, that's putting yourself out there. This all goes back to the thing that you asked me. It was, what was the one thing I want to say? But it's like, tell someone, involve someone in it, be vulnerable with that person, share goals, and go get it. Let's fucking go.
And go get that bread.
Like, go get that bread. Go make the bread. If making the bread is your goal, go make the bread.
I love it, Addie. Thank you so very much.
Wait, what was yours?
Oh, my piece of advice?
Yeah, you said we're going to go around, which just means just a line. That's the two of us.
I loved your goal your SMART so much, and the accountability thing that I almost don't want to say anything, because I think I was going to say make them smaller goals, because when I would goal set, it would just be huge and then I wouldn't really have action items. I wouldn't know how to tackle those things. So I think make them less daunting, make it so you can achieve it. There's a book that's called Make Your Bed, and it's written fully, I don't know why so many pages, just to tell you, if you make your bed the first thing in the morning, you already have one win under your belt. Then it gets you to just keep on winning for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
It's like a 80-page book.
Yeah.
It could really be a Pinterest.
Oh no,
book.
I already lost. My bed's got a lot of blankets all over the place, not in a straight line. And also, I just, again, want to say thank you to Betsy Capes Coaching. If you're interested in that,
Sounds amazing.
Look it up. She has awesome stuff. It feels life-changing already, and I'm not even done with the program.
I got to do that.
Yeah, it's great. She also has private coaching. It's really awesome. If you can finagle it. Part of my financial goal was to be able to make enough money to continue to work with her, because I was like, that's also a goal. It's not everyone can have access to this kind of stuff. So
absolutely.
I'm glad you guys get a little bit of it.
Yay, me too. Speaking of access, where can people access you all over the internet?
Instagram, baby. I love Instagram.
Instagram, baby.
Addie Yo Mind. And then I guess if I had more followers on Twitter, I would tweet more.
But maybe you tweet more to get more followers.
But sure.
Twitter is the hardest one to grow.
Twitter is hard to grow because I want people to like me for just what I look like and not my thoughts.
So dumb.
It is a hard one to go because I like pictures. I like the like shiny pictures. And I love Instagram stories. I like Instagram stories.
What can I say?
I love a good story.
They are good stories. If you guys have any sticky situations, I heard that I'm not supposed to say guys anymore. Let's try again.
Folks. No, okay. No, we can keep this in the podcast. It is really, if everyone tries, because I say hey guys all the time. It rolls off the throat. It's not really the tongue. Hey guys, it comes out of the throat very easily.
Totally.
If everyone gets used to saying folks, hey folks, it's
it sounds like you're about to serve me at Outback Steakhouse.
I know, but it sounds like you're cool and respectful of everybody and
nursing home.
And like sexy in a young person. We gotta change the narrative.
For sure.
Because I'll be like, yo, what up, folks? That's
okay,
cool.
Okay, yo, what up, folks?
There it is, nailed
this,
it.
This is a special episode where we didn't have any call-ins, but I'm going to ask for suggestions on different topics so I can bring different people to have a little bit more of these every now and then. So the number is 805-751-9071 for the normal, you know, call-in response. But for episodes like this, tweet me at Megan Mattoon. I'm going to get them the easiest there. If you've got a topic that you really want deep insight on, the ones that get the most tweets, I will do first. Priorities. Okay.
Priorities.
Everyone say bye at the same time. 1, 2, 3.
Bye. Oh, we did different byes. Bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.